talk to us now and go to the TNT Radio Interactive live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You know what that means.
John Matlin on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
We'll do it live.
Welcome back. In the commercial break, we sang happy birthday to Rich.
Thank you.
We took shots, and we've had homemade cupcakes.
Yum.
And they were phenomenal. So for everyone listening that is jealous right now, you should be. All right, so we're talking about Davos. We're talking about all of that good stuff. But before we really just jump right in and have our little, I guess, powwow about the elite, I do want to also inform the listeners that this week the EU has authorized the use of house crickets as food ingredients in a number of food products, which means in Europe, your birthday cupcakes, if they're not homemade, might include the protein of the common household cricket. Jeff, would you like to take it from there? And are they crunchy?
Now I'm nauseous from thinking about that. Oh, yeah, this is insane. See, like, the funny thing is, EU has, like, great food standards usually. They don't have the same stuff we have because if I know many people that will eat the same thing in Europe that they do here and they lose weight because of all the crap and all the processed stuff they put in our food. Yeah, the seed oils.
The more that you learn,
high fructose corn syrup.
The more that you learn about seed oils, the creepier it gets on how they're created because nobody ever really looked into it for basics. So have you ever looked at that process?
Yeah, well, with seed oil, it's not the ingredient of the seed oil. It's how they extract the seed oil.
There it is.
That is the problem. They use crazy chemicals that I'm not sure which chemical. So, like, if they found a way to extract seed oils without that, they probably would be okay. But it's not with the
having it dissolve in a solvent and then it rises to the top and then it cuts it all. And you're supposed to just ingest this stuff. Rich, what do you think? Will you eat Z-Bugs and conform?
Well, I'll never conform. I mean, that's just, you know, the way of my life. But, you know, just go to that point. So, traditional American, quote-unquote, snack. The Oreo cookie, right? The Oreo cookie. In other places in the world, they've told Nabisco, No, you can't include this ingredient, and that ingredient if you want to sell it in our country. And you know what? Nabisco takes it out. And then they can sell it in that country. We don't do that here because they want to feed us this crap. They want to make us unhealthy. Why? Because
they have the cure.
Big Pharma.
In theory.
And Big Corporation Medical.
Frank, if you want to jump on the panel at any point, feel free.
Is the solution. So if we, a healthy patient is not a profitable patient. So we don't have those same standards here. We should demand it just like these other countries do and start having healthier food. Now, I find it amusing, you know, that they want to, you know, okay, crickets, right? And listen, they've done it here. Like, you know, you're going to eat bugs and like it. I mean, ever watch The Hunger Games? What happened in the Capital District? They had all the good food. They had the steaks. They had the chicken. They had, while people were eating the grains and the berries and the crickets and the bugs. Doesn't this sound familiar?
That's it. Yeah. That 100%. And so this is something that is a part of what they want to bring forward. It's obvious they say it, so it's not just obvious because we're being conspiracy theorists. This is a part of the answer. Bill Gates has started a program to stop cows from burping methane as a part of how they can fix the climate. And I have to stress this time and time again. that there has been planet warm-ups and coolings and ice ages and heat-ups and coolings since way before humans inhabited planet Earth. So is the going rate the CO2 emission of all of the animals, the dinosaur farts? What are we talking about?
Agriculture is only 3% of emissions, but they target that. But they don't go after their private jets. That I wonder why, because they want to be able to continue their lifestyle and have us plebs follow their stupid edicts and do all this BS, which does nothing. This is about control. This is about keeping us keeping us down. There's a great video of Margaret Thatcher that I'm going to paraphrase. I'm probably going to butcher it. But she's talking to a member of the Labor Party when they were very ardent socialists. And she says, the thing is with socialism is you want to bring everyone down to the same level. It's not that you want everyone to be equal. It's you want everyone to be dirt poor. So you could be there to say, I will help you. Here is the solution.
Yeah. So but when we talk about the solution, and we talk about all of this stuff that is occurring in socialism, everything has to hit a certain benchmark. And what I mean by that is private businesses, mom and pop shops, they cannot endure equity. It doesn't work. So when the equity is, and this is the fallacy that's built into, oh, we'll raise minimum wage and then everyone will have money and everything will flourish. The economy doesn't work on rainbows and unicorns as much as they push that. So I've had this talk ad nauseum, but
listen, what was the reason for during the pandemic the shutdown of restaurants
and
the
shutdown closed.
And mom and pop stores? But yet Costco, Walmart, all the big conglomerates could remain open because
Rich,
they were trying to.
You're forgetting about the virus siesta. They don't cross into those types of locations, only the ones like Max Public House. So it was to close. It was to swipe a property. It was to redistribute wealth. You have to be living under a damn boulder at this point not to get that. But when you raise minimum wage, when you raise minimum wage and you don't raise the minimum wage the wages of the people in the middle class, all you do is take a little more from the rich. The poor are still the bottom and all the prices go up, and the power of the dollar for the middle class is absolutely imploded. And you see that. You see that at work when AOC is sitting in the old coffee shop she worked at and said it's a bittersweet day because wages are going up, but this business has to close to accomplish it. And they're sitting because you cannot sell coffee for freaking $45 a cup. You can't sustain it. The power of the dollar is dropped. The drive to excel and move your career forward is gone. And the youth are indoctrinated not to understand the process that we can teach in 120 seconds. And they paid to be put in debt to believe it. So they then are a slave to following it to get out of that debt. It is a effing merry-go-round of clown activity. But I want to give this to Frank because Frank has joined the panel. What kind of beer is that, Frank? Stella. A Stella. He's got Stella in hand. Frank, tell me what your take is on this, on minimum wage hikes, on everything that we're enduring right now.
Well, I really, what you just said was just brilliant. I have to echo what you said, John. But I believe inflation is a hidden tax on the middle class and lower classes. And this all printing money out of thin air, and it's just creating an unsustainable, you know, condition of this inflation that is impacting us. We think we're getting something for nothing with all these government handouts, but it doesn't work out in the end.
Well, we understand it. The middle class understands it because the middle class has been dealing with this since they've imposed these income taxes and these other criminal taxes and fees that they've been imposing on us for years. raising of the minimum wage, the raising the limit of the minimum wage, they want to bill it as helping the poor. That's what they, and this way, if you're against it, you're against helping poor people. But in reality, what they're doing is that they're bringing the middle class down to the poverty level by doing this. It's not to raise up. And for people that think that the Democratic Party for one second wants to raise up the people who are disenfranchised and downtrodden for one minute, if you think that that's what their goal is, you are delusional. That they want to keep you
plenty
down, and they want to bring everybody else down to that level to be suppressed and to be controlled.
We have an audience member coming up that would like to speak.
You also have a problem when you raise the minimum wage. You teach the younger people not to work. They cannot work because the jobs are being taken by people that usually wouldn't work, and you're teaching the next generation to take the handouts because there's no jobs that they can get. So it's a double-edged sword. The sword is not only bringing the middle class down to its level, as the Democrats would like, it's also teaching the next generation not to work and to look for handouts.
And let's go one more step, right? Let's go one more step. You raise the minimum wage. And what does that do in a lot of cases, right? In a lot of cases in the smaller businesses, and listen, even some of the chain operations, the chain store operations, you raise the minimum wage, it means that you can't hire the same amount of people. So what do? You begin to automate. You begin to have self-checkout. You begin to no longer have toll collectors on the bridges and tunnels. You have Big Brother and Easy Pass.
And we've watched it, Rich. We've watched it. We've watched it in just the short amount of time. There are no toll booths at the Verrazano Bridge, at the Outer Bridge, at the Gothels Bridge. You drive. They take a picture of your license. The AI will match your thing. And you, like this goes on. It's tail as old as time. Jeff, before I do you have anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, the minimum wage does not help poor people because say you have had issues in your life and you go to you just got out of jail or something and you go and you want to work and you're going to a business owner and you're like, give me a chance. Give me 3 weeks, I'll do it for $10 an hour just to show you that I can do it. And the guy's going to say no, and then he'll just hire someone else. So it's to keep, like Rich said, it's to keep them in a perpetual dependency on the government. They do not want the lower class to come up. They do not, because then they wouldn't get votes.
Yep, it's keeping everybody on the plane that they want them to reside on. And again, while I was campaigning, I was in front of a haircut shop in Woodrow Plaza here on Staten Island, and two girls walked by as I was having a conversation with another woman who just finished her haircut, and they were like, oh, are you the guy running? And I said, yes. So they were in scrubs, and I said, do you work at the hospital? Knowing that I lost my job already because I wasn't compliant, so either they were compliant, but they worked at the local Walgreens. And they were working in the pharmacy. So they're not pharmacists. They're hired as pharmacist techs or registered to do that type of work. And they said, what we're going to school for is radiology. And I said, oh, that's interesting. You could take my old job because I didn't comply. And then they went on to go, I said, well, what makes you want to get into that field? They said, well, we want more money. And I said, okay. I said, you have 120 seconds because I'm going to destroy everything that you ever knew right now from college. And they said, well, go for it. And I said, well, you don't have enough money where you work now. That's what you're telling me. They said, oh, no, we make $22 an hour. And I was, well, 22. Well, shit. Because when I worked at Blockbuster Video, I made $5.86 or something along those lines. When I worked at Best Buy, I made $7.77. When I worked at Verrazano Radiology, I made $12 an hour. When I started as an x-ray tech, I made 24 and change. When I went to CAT scan before I got my bumps for years of service, It takes time, but they're getting out and they think that they're making this big jump. And I said, you're only going to make $9 more, but if they raise minimum wage, you have now took on the debt of getting said license. So at this point, when you get that job in the hospital that you're so excited about, your money's going to mean less. You're in debt to pay off the instruction, which is now upwards of $70,000 to get that license over the course of 2 years. When I went in 04, it was $8,000 total package. So now you're getting into debt to get it. Your money's going down. You're only making a handful of dollars more than you were making in the pharmacy. It looked like I ran over those two girls with my car in the amount of time that I just did it, because their college, they said, nobody ever taught us this. And that's the problem, guys. Nobody's teaching the youth the actual reality. And the professors that are indoctrinating them are taking their money and they're telling them it's wrong as they take their money, as they pass go, as they collect their 200 bucks like the Monopoly man. But keep that thought in mind. We do have to take a break. I'm sorry. I know I have a lot of people ready to talk. This is TNT Radio. We'll be right back on the John Matlin Show.
You should hear what Rick Munn's talking about.
New Mexico in the U.S., the Democrats are proposing that all new houses that are being built going forward must have solar panels and charging stations in each new home, drastically increasing building costs. So whether you like it or not, you know, this issue of smart meters comes up and say, well, I'll never get a smart meter, you'll never get me. But maybe the house that you're buying has one pre-installed, or the landlord that you're renting off has one installed, in which case you can't really do anything about it. So if you're saying, well, I'll never have a charging station because I'll never have an electric car. For example, in New Mexico, if you're buying a house there, if the Democrats get their way, you're going to have solar panels whether you want them or not. And you're going to have a charging port for your EV whether you like it or not. And you're going to pay for it whether you like it or not. That's the way that this thing works. It doesn't matter if you want it. It doesn't matter if you like it. It doesn't matter if you disagree with it. They're going to try and force it through. And unless there's serious kickback from this, this is actually going to come to pass.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk. TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
What is your name?
What is it?
John Matlin.
Don't you forget it.
John Matlin on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right. Things are going just flawlessly here on our cold, dreary night at Castle Corners Pub. But before we jump into this, I'm going to let Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, explain what we're about to talk about. I know this might harm a lot of people's brains listening to it, but if I have to endure it, so do you. That's equity, ladies and gentlemen.
Staff right now. We've had ambulances waiting 5 hours at our local emergency rooms to unload patients. The hospitals, the nursing homes say they're waiting for DOH guidance on whether they can hire any of those workers back. What's the latest with that?
Well, we're considering all our options with respect to the litigation, so I can't comment on that. But I'll say that last year in my State of the State, we put forth a plan to help retention, also recruitment. And a lot of those programs are just unfolding out. $20 billion to bring back the healthcare system, including bonuses for existing workers, helping settle nursing strikes, which I get very involved in to make sure that patients are being cared for. It's a problem, but I don't think the answer is to have someone who comes in who's sick be exposed to someone who can give them coronavirus.
That's the point. They should have jumped
COVID-19. In. COVID-19. I don't know that that's the right answer. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not. So we're exploring our options. But I think everybody who goes into a healthcare facility or a nursing home should have the assurance, and their family members should know, that we have taken all steps to protect the public health, and that includes making sure those who come in contact with them at their time of most vulnerability, when they are sick or elderly, will not pass on the virus. We lost 34 New Yorkers yesterday. We have 4,000 active cases.
So I'm going to pause. We're going to let Kathy finish. Don't everyone jump in. I just want to say, she said we lost 34 New Yorkers with 4,000 active cases. Now, granted, that could have changed the next day and people could have been added. But with the numbers of saying 4,000, which was a roundabout, which means there was at least 4,034, you're talking about a survival rate of 99.5. But I get that is fluid, but we're talking about extremely high rates. Now, what they're not disclosing is the vaccination status of the people that were lost and the age, which brings us back to square one, because that would be a problem for us to know. But let's let Governor Botox finish.
This has not gone away as much as we wish it would.
Couldn't there be other safety precautions, masking, other mechanisms in order to allow some of them back in? I mean, we're at crisis level here in our hospitals, and particularly in our nursing
balance.
Homes.
I truly understand the challenge and the balance, and these are never easy decisions. But I cannot put people into harm's way, because when you go into a healthcare facility, you expect that you're not going to come out sicker than you went in. I think that's something every New Yorker would expect.
So what you're seeing here is a complete, it's like we haven't learned any of the new science. We're stuck in the twilight zone of the past. And now let's look at the difference between what she's saying and what Bill Gates is saying now with all of the knowledge that's out there. And this is Bill Gates, who loves this crap.
Well, early February, when I was in a meeting that experts at the foundation said, there's no way, you know, there's been too much travel without diagnosis for us to contain this. And then at that point, we didn't really understand the fatality rate. You know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and
low
that it's a
rate.
Disease mainly of the elderly, kind of health like flu is,
really?
Although a bit
really?
Different than that.
Like the
so
flu.
That was a pretty scary period,
right.
Where the world didn't go on alert, including the United States, nearly as fast as it needed to.
Okay, so what you're seeing there is the backtracking and the, oh, we didn't know any better. Oh, it was a mistake. Kathy Hochul yesterday is acting like she has no idea, even though she herself has had COVID. If I'm wrong, I mean, somebody tell me. And the fact that all of the employees that subjected themselves to this, whether willfully or to keep their jobs, by last September 28th or whatever day it was of 2021, so not last, the previous last, but you get my point. The whole thing is all of those people by December or January, like 90% of those people all had COVID the same way I had finally gotten COVID, the same way Jeff has had COVID, the same way you've had COVID. Frank, have you ever had COVID? Frank doesn't know it, but I gave him COVID at Panera Bread while me and Jeff were probably COVID positive. But he handled it like a champ, like the majority of the damn world. Jeff?
Yeah, this is insane. They're relying on people's ignorance to get away with this narrative. Oh, you need a booster every couple of months, but in the same breath. Now I forgot.
It's because I'm waving Rachel over. She's sitting behind the bar, slinging drinks, going,
well,
I never had COVID. Rachel has on numerous occasions been sick for like 2 weeks, and she's like, it's not COVID, as she poured me alcohol in this very bar. This is the reality, is if you do not test, you do not know, because a cold is a cold is a cold. In 2019, leading up to going to Greece for 14 days, I came down with the deadly cold that would not leave. It just wouldn't leave. And I went over to my friends that are doctors and PAs, because I was at the hospital at the time because the world was normal and haven't lost their minds yet. And I said, hey, I got this virus and I can't shake it, but it could maybe not be a virus. It might be something that antibiotics can help, and I'm leaving. I'd like to take antibiotics. And they looked at me and they were like, John, it's a virus and it's going to take like probably 15 to 30 days to really run its course. That's what viruses do. There's nothing that can help you. And I'm like, I get it. But in case it's something that antibiotics can help, I'd like to take it because I'm going on vacation. I convinced them to give me amoxicillin, which then almost killed me because I have a sensitivity on and off with amoxicillin. So I started getting these welts all over my body, and the head doctor in the ER is like, you'll probably be okay, but if it keeps getting worse, like, we may have to vent you and you could die from it. So just don't take any more amoxicillin as long as you're alive.
So
flash forward, Rich, flash forward to 2021 August. That same doctor told me, as I was having what could have assumed to be a stressful induced panic attack as I walked out of work because I heard Cuomo say he was taking my job officially, and I went to the ER, and that same doctor looked at me that had told me, like, don't continue to take amoxicillin. I said, you know why my heart's racing and why I feel like I'm having an effing heart attack, doc? Because everyone has gone mad and you guys want to take my job over something that has a 99% survival rate. And his response was, oh, I can understand how that can cause stress, but, you know, it is what it is. And then to that doctor, I have to say, amnesty is not coming anytime soon because it is what it is. If he survives his enlarged heart. Anybody? Anybody?
Yeah. There was this great video floating around on Twitter this morning of Joe Scarborough of MSNBC saying he was down with COVID for a month. And because of that, he realizes he should have gotten his fourth booster. Like really? Like, and then he got called out and then he went on the next day, which was today, and saying, oh, these people are just stupid, da 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 da. Like Scott Adams said the other day, the unvaccinated, the anti-vaxxers were right. And it's that way, but politicians like Hochul get so much money from Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and all the rest of Big Pharma, they just spout whatever nonsense they're told.
So let's go back to hundreds, if not thousands, of years of medical history. Even just recently, when you were younger, John, Jeff,
yep,
you went to the doctor, your mom took you when you were a preteen, and the doctor would tell you, he has a virus, there's no treatment, it just has to run its course. When did science, when did medicine all of a sudden have a miracle treatment for viruses? The answer is they don't. They don't. Now, going back to Governor Botox over here, right? So this is the same governor, by the way, that was going to make it a law, an executive order, right, to check everybody's social media networks, right, for misinformation. Oh, my God, where is the misinformation flag on her interview right there that the unvaccinated make people sick? Where is the misinformation flag there?
Fact. I'm going to tell you a story even further about how ridiculous that the censorship still is. And we see things lift on Twitter. You see your reach grow. You see the followers come on. When I was running for office, that did not happen. And now I'm reaching millions of people a month. Impressions, comments, the whole nine, retweets. It's like a different world. I reapplied to get a check mark as I have multiple radio shows and all that stuff. And I'm like, maybe they'll give me a check mark, which makes you, we all know this, it makes you reach more people. I have to be on a list on Instagram because yet again, I've been denied. They've denied me on my political account. They've denied me on this account. They say I don't meet the criteria, but verbatim to their criteria, I surely do meet it, but they don't want me to have reach. And at some point, I was put on a list, probably when that light switch changed, which was I was running for office, and the Department of Homeland Security was monitoring the Freedom Trucker rally, and all of our accounts lost the ability to go live. They will not allow any of my accounts for that to go and get verified, because they don't want this message to go and go forward. They don't want a platform like TNT Radio to go forward that I'm on. They don't want this information to spread. They want to keep it and try to kill the cancer at its source, which is now Twitter. because Kathy Hochul can lie and not get flagged, but sure as shit, none of us can, and our reach is dismal. As I've said time and time again, Rachel lives inside of a padded room and basically Instagrams to 25 people, and I'm luckily one of those 25 people.
Yeah, and I mean, the governor is completely just spouting propaganda that she's being paid directly or indirectly to spout, right? There is no study out there that shows the infection rate being greater in transmission of the COVID virus between the vaccinated and unvaccinated. There is no study that says one way or the other that the unvaccinated transmit it more than the vaccinated. And what we have learned, though, in CDC studies and peer-reviewed studies is that the people that got vaccinated have this phenomenon known as shedding, in which because of the shedding of these spike proteins in this mRNA vaccine are actually transmitting the COVID-19 virus at a higher rate than those that were unvaccinated. To the point earlier today where now people are saying, oh, you know what? The unvaccinated were right.
Well, I'm going to stop everybody and run the presses of what happened tonight with Project Veritas. This is just a small clip of it. Have you heard any of this, anyone on the panel? Well, this is going, as they would say, balls to the wall viral, as it should be, but here's a small clip of it. Hold on. Having a technical difficulty. Here we go. Here's the small clip.
Mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No. Don't tell anyone this building. You gotta publish your own title. We're exploring, like, now, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we could develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're gonna do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating fucking viruses. To be like very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something like, you know, it goes everywhere.
Something crazy.
But is the way that the virus started in Wuhan. I was popped out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, I know.
Meet Jordan Tristan Walker, a director of research and development strategic operations and mRNA scientific planning at Pfizer.
It sounds like gain of function to me.
I don't know, it's a little bit different. I think it's different. It's like, there's, it's definitely not gain of function.
It sounds like it is. I mean, it's okay.
No, directed evolution is very different. Yeah. Well, you're not supposed to do gain of function research with the viruses. Like,
yeah.
They recommend not. But you do like these like selected directional mutations to try to see if you can make more potent.
Yeah.
So there is research ongoing about that. I don't know how that's going to work. There better not be any more outbreaks. Because like, Jesus Christ.
The gentleman seems to have
Robert Malone
absolutely
talking.
No moral compass at all.
I have a revolving door for all government officials. It's pretty good for the industry, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's bad for everyone else in America.
Why is it bad for everybody else?
Because if the regulators who have to approve our drugs know that once they stop being regulated, they want to go work for the company, they're not going to be as hard on the company. They're hearing their job.
If this is the quality of individuals within Pfizer that are making these huge decisions that risk global public health, it's profoundly corrupt.
Yeah, so we're watching, and that's only 3 minutes of the nine. They scheduled a Twitter Spaces to happen directly after the release with Robert Malone on it. We are watching more and more come out. They're just changing the definition. They're saying that they're doing gain of function by all intents and purposes. But this is the same thing we watched at MIT when they said, oh, it's not gain of function. We just took the spikes off of Omicron, put it on the initial virus, and we're just saying it's Omicron S, and it killed 70, 80% of the rodents, whatever they said. That is gain of function. But they just say it's not by some loophole. Who's buying the bullshit? Jeff, you buying the bullshit?
Hell no. Hell no. These people, all right, COVID, like the flu, has animal repositories, meaning they knew from the beginning this was always going to mutate, and they knew, just like the flu shot, it was going to last a few months at best, and they still pushed it, convinced and propagandized this entire country, because we are the most propagandized country on earth, because Russia and China know the media is from the state. We're tricked here. And yeah, they knew this. It's all about money. They probably have a new vaccine ready to go for this new variant that they're working on. Yeah, this isn't to get data to help people. This is for money.
So just one, you know, one little thing. We're now seeing articles being published in various mainstream publications, right? Titled, for example, just like this one. They knew. Why didn't the unvaccinated do more to warn us? Are you kidding me?
That's a parody account. I know. Okay. That's meant as a joke. You know,
it was a parody account. But, so we have to sort through this because there's accounts out there like Ann Lesby,
right,
which is my favorite parody account. But it took me a few passes because the fact that they can make something a parody account and go so far extreme that it looks like a normal account just shows where the baseline
absolutely
is set. You couldn't do that in 2010. If the stuff that we see in parody accounts came out in 2010, you'd be like, this is hysterical. This is a great parody account. But there's people that legitimately think it's real now that agree with it and debate it. So, I mean, yep, we're at a very strange point with that.
And, you know, and
oh, my God, we got to go to commercial break.
We got to go to commercial. Let's go to commercial, John.
Let's go to commercial.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Remember back in 2021 when Georgia passed new voting regulations into law? The media and the left went certifiably nuts, claiming without any evidence that the changes were targeting the African-American community and would make it almost impossible for many of them to cast a vote in that state. Voter suppression, they cried. It was Jim Crow, they claimed. And Major League Baseball was so offended that they moved the All-Star game, which was slated to be played in Atlanta that summer. Even record turnout during the 2022 midterms didn't stop the left from repeating false claims about the state of Georgia's election procedures. But a funny thing has happened. The University of Georgia has conducted a poll asking Georgia voters about their voting experiences in 2022. Guess what? 0% of blacks reported a poor experience. In fact, 72%, meanwhile, said that they had an excellent experience, the same as white voters. So, folks, this should finally put to rest that false talking point constantly spewed by the left in order to push their false narrative of black voters under attack in Georgia. Except it won't. In fact, the false claims will only get worse. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Working group meetings for the WHO pandemic treaty have been taking place behind closed doors. On the 18th of February 2022, the Working Group on Strengthening WHO Preparedness and Response, WGPR, to Health Emergencies, held its seventh meeting. Recommendations were issued, including surveillance systems that would link into each country's national health system, the implementation of universal digital vaccination certificates, and guidelines on how each member country would be paying fees to the World Health Organization, in addition to the annual membership fees each member country is already paying. It proposed that states' parties should ensure adequate and sustained financing at the national and subnational levels and provide adequate and sustained financing to the WHO Secretariat for its work on preventing, detecting, and responding to disease outbreaks. An international pandemic financing faculty is recommended to raise additional reliable financing for pandemic preparedness and for rapid global finance surge for response in the event of a pandemic. The facility should have the capacity to mobilize long-term 10 to 15-year contributions of approximately $5 to $10 billion per annum to finance ongoing preparedness functions. It will have the ability to disperse up to $50 to $100 billion at short notice by front-loading future commitments in the event of a pandemic declaration.
This is
TNT Radio's John Matlin.
You know what that means.
John Matlin on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Get on with it.
All right, we are at the final block of this episode. All right. So we're having all this talk about viruses. We're having all this talk about all this ridiculous crap that's going on in our world. But I do want to touch on this before we deviate topics, because during the break that you just endured, we had our own break here in real time. And we started talking about Damar Hamlin. We started talking about the, quote, conspiracy theory about his appearance at the playoff game that the Buffalo Bills lost. So I'm going to start off with my take. Then I'm going to give it to Frank. We'll work our way down. Let's not take too long because I have a couple of video clips to go through and whatnot. But we're going to start. What I saw, whether it was real or not, the fact that they did not show a close-up of Damar Hamlin was either horrible planning and stoking the fires of people that they want to say are conspiracy theorists, or they are just dumb. We saw zoomed out shots, snow shots, hood on, can't see his face. Then they came out in his response that he tweeted, his face was all covered. It's a very strange sensation that I feel when I look at this, because it's like they're doing it on purpose, whether for clickbait or not. It doesn't make sense. And if a man is being monitored 24/7 and on oxygen, I don't think he would be in a sweet standing getting excited watching a football game, clapping rapidly, yet being wheelchaired around. But how do you get the whole team involved to say that he was there giving words beforehand? Maybe he did it via Zoom and something along those lines. Do I think he's dead? I don't. Do I think he has a body double, like a real one that's operating? No, I think that they're just doing a possible virtue signal, and you can't say that they didn't because they didn't actually show the man. That's the thing. That's my take. If he's as healthy to talk to the team, healthy to be there standing, clapping in the suite, maybe a one-minute interview thanking the world for praying for him would have been on tap, but that didn't seem to happen. Frank, what's your take?
Okay, well, until I see an in-person interview with this guy, I'm not sure. If you remember Tiffany Dover, the nurse who collapsed shortly after taking the COVID vaccine early in this program, no one has ever heard from her since, but they're insisting she's alive and well. Until I see proof, I'm not sure.
Speaking of that specific nurse, I reached out to people about it that worked with her allegedly, and they said she's fine. And my response was, because they said she's fine and she doesn't want any press. And I said, well, the way not to have press would be to go out and say I'm fine. You have to understand, we DM'd about this back when it first happened, when I was still a healthcare worker. Jeff.
Yeah, this is insane. Yeah, like you, I don't believe he's dead. I think he's still knocked up in a hospital or at home on oxygen, and they're just trying to get this out there. A lot of people, like in the NFL and in marketing, aren't as smart as we give them credit. So they're probably just like, oh, we'll just get some guy to go out there. No one will think we're lying. And then it's like, they're shocked that they're getting called out because they're elitist in their ivory tower and they don't understand. Yeah, he's probably still on oxygen, still in the hospital, or like I said, home. And they're trying to get this past and move on to the Super Bowl. After the Super Bowl, I guarantee the real story will leak out.
And think about it. These elitists, if this is some kind of sham and Hamlin is still sick and in a hospital somewhere, these elitists just once again shows how they're using people. They're using regular people to continue to push the propaganda. Like, listen, there are stories out there that recently before the game, I don't know how long the time frame was, whether it's true or not, we'll have to verify, that he had his fourth booster previous to that game. There are stories out there that once that collapse did happen, immediately the NFL leadership and the NFL Players Association began discussing halting of all the vaccine mandates. Tell me, is that coincidence?
Well, certain states were the ones that were requiring it, and a lot of chatter that I've gotten in my time investigating and having conversations with people that are close to the NFL, where the known secret is majority of the teams aren't really vaccinated. And they know that they're fake vaccines. They just said, we're not playing if we need to get it. So in New York, where it was more likely that they actually complied due to our state's attempts at tyranny, the other states were just like, I don't care. Give me an index card that says you got it, and we'll call it a day. So that's an interesting thing. But Let's jump topics. We're going to go to somebody who has recently made headlines, has her own podcast. She's known as the Patriot Barbie. She's going through something, and we're going to listen to this closely as she's dealing with her issues, and then we're going to dissect it. Here we go.
What?
You're good to go.
Why do you use the men's restroom sometimes and the women's restroom sometimes?
Please stay away. Listen, please. Yes, politely, like I said.
Okay, so at that point, the police is are the voices you're hearing saying he asked politely, step away. So it sounded like the police were referring to this man or this woman, who now it was a biological man that referred to a woman, as a man, which so this is how this stuff gets very convoluted. So the story goes, she was at the gym, but I'll let her tell it.
Here are the facts surrounding Paul Bixler. He's a 72-year-old biological man. For the most of his life, he has been married, has two children. He has lived the life of a biological man. He is attracted to women. He was married to a woman 30, 40 years. He sits on the school board of an elementary school in Buckeye, Arizona called Liberty Elementary. This man is claiming to be a woman. It's about, I'd like to offer you all an update on Paul Bixler. I went to my gym, East Florida, in Arizona. Paul Bixler was in the women's locker room while I was in there getting undressed. I undressed my entire top and my sports bra. I was completely topless. Paul Bixler, the man, was in the locker room, looked at me undressed, and left the locker room. I called the police. The police arrived. Apparently, Paul Bixler has cut his wiener off, so that makes him a woman. He has cut his genitalia off, which makes him more of a threat and more mentally ill, in my opinion. He has changed his driver's license to say that he is a female. And therefore, even though in the women's locker room, in my private, safe, secure space, a man was there watching me undress, he walked out the front doors, unarrested, not charged. No charges filed. Nothing is wrong.
So
he is free. He is free as a bird.
We're watching
despite
this.
Despite being a man who saw a woman undress in the locker room.
We're watching this. You say, how can this get any worse? Well, I have the answer, and then we're going to really have to take this down.
Quick recap and update on the Paul Bixler situation. For those of you who don't know, in November, I spoke up at a school board dressed as a cat against Paul Bixler, who sits on the school board and dresses up as a woman, uses the female facilities at school events and at the elementary school with little girls. Last week, a video went viral of me at my gym. I was using the women's locker room, and Paul Bixler was also using the women's locker room. And because he had changed his driver's license to female, nothing was done. No arrests were made, and Paul Bixler continues to get to use female facilities at the school and at my gym. Those are the two experiences I have with Paul Bixler. Earlier this evening, I was notified that someone had come to a residence that I had previously resided at and saw paperwork attempting to be served. Paul Bixler is attempting to serve me with an injunction that would prevent me from going to my gym, which I've had a membership at for years, and would prevent me from speaking up at the school board where he sits in my community. He's attempting to file an injunction for harassment that would silence me from being able to speak out at a school board in my community that would take away my First Amendment rights. I use the female facilities at a gym as a female, and I'm being filed a harassment suit against.
Now, this is where we are at. Women going into their locker room at the gym are not allowed to feel uncomfortable as biological men view them naked. Then when they try to call the cops and press charges, the cops say they ask nice. View them naked. Then when they try to call the cops and press charges, the cops say they ask nicely, this is a touchy subject, and they don't do anything. And then that biological male will go and file a lawsuit on the biological woman for using and feeling threatened. This is the opposite of Me Too. This is the opposite of women's rights. This is the opposite of any feminist movement. men have hijacked, biological men have hijacked this entire planet on women at this point. And what's your thoughts, Jeff?
In modern feminism, even a man can be a better woman. Just let that process. And a man is more of a woman than women at this moment. And I guarantee that dude is lying about getting his chopped off, because if that happened, he would lose all his testosterone. He would lose his, and he's still attracted to women. He admits it. He's staring at Patriot Barbie, who's attractive. And yeah, this is insane, and it's meant to confuse us, and it's meant to keep the populace distracted about their gender, their race, instead of looking at what's really going on in the world.
While you're distracted, you get taken. But, you know, let's look at this. So, personal opinions aside, let's just look at the legal foundation of it, okay? If this was a biological woman in the women's locker room ogling another female occupant in the women's locker room, wouldn't that still be some type of harassment that could be brought to the police's attention? Sure it could. Absolutely. Now, aside from the fact, evidently there's, you know, 72 different, you know, genders and what you can identify with now. So he was a man who's now a woman who's still attracted to women. Okay, so what if this was a biological woman who is attracted to women? Wouldn't the plaintiff still have grounds for complaints of being, for no other reason, this person was not getting changed in the women's locker room. The person's only objective to be in the locker room was to watch this other woman undress. So
correct.
Take all of the lunacy out of it.
What you're saying
makes,
Rich,
too much sense.
It makes too much sense. And what you're saying also creates the reality that if I go as a biological male into the locker room at the gym, change, and I turn around, and there's another gentleman that checks out my chum and does it repetitively, and I feel uncomfortable. I'm like, yo, there's a dude in there that's harassing me, checking, I can't, like, shower and stuff. Yeah, but you're telling me if that dude was originally a female that the rules no longer apply because it might hurt their feelings and it's a touchy subject, which doesn't work for
I'm reality. Not saying that. I'm saying it's just
no, that's
just
what they're saying.
Yeah, that's
not
what
you.
They're saying.
That's what they're saying. But this is where the indoctrination goes. So now I'm going to go down the how we have drag queen hours and we have all these other things. This is the next step. So here we go.
A boy or a girl? And Mash answers, I'm just a kid.
But a kid. But
it's a teacher with a puppet talking to children.
They can be boys or girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe non-binary.
Yeah.
It was just like non-binary, yeah. That's just something that we know. And this is something, I mean, it's like they're 4 and 5 years old and they just didn't make a big deal out of being a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm. And I think it was a huge testament to how much we've been talking about it in the classroom that you never mentioned the term non-binary. It was a child who brought that up because it's constantly in conversation.
Now, how does that work? And when people say you can't teach people how to be gay and all that, yeah, for the most part, I agree. You're born the way you're born. You might be a homosexual. You might not. You might have different feelings. But that part goes to gender dysmorphia. You could have a million different ways and outcomes. However, if you take the youth that is not paying attention to any of these things, they don't think like that. You were a kid. I was a kid. I didn't sit around going, am I a boy or am I a girl? What am I attracted to? I wanted to get G.I. Joes as soon as I can. Get me to Toys R Us or Kitty City. I want to buy my toys. Didn't think about anything. Granted, at a young age, I surely knew I was attracted to women. I had a girlfriend in preschool, tried to marry her. She wouldn't accept a 25-cent ring. It was first big-time rejection. But I tried. So yes, some kids might know what they are. They might go on, but to bombard them on the daily that there is non-binary, there's 72 different genders, and driving it home, you're installing the gender dysmorphia, the mental illness that there is. You're installing that at a young age and making them think that that's baseline, the reality. Well, and how can they ever get out of that?
So unfortunately, what they're doing is that they're breaking down boundaries, okay? And this leads into a whole lot of things as the kids grow up and get older, right? There's no longer the social boundaries of you have to behave this way, a certain way. They're adults to children, children to children, right? They're trying to make everything seem normalized.
50 seconds and the episode's over.
When I was young, right, we had various ethnicities. We had boys, we had girls, we had to their answer, we were all kids. We didn't see that because we weren't thinking that. Why do we have to indoctrinate
but
that thinking?
Now it's everything through the lens of you're different by race, gender, sexuality, all of that at a young age.
Except
and it's
with what everybody has to be equal and everybody has to be the same.
It's a strange time. But ladies and gentlemen, good times go fast. Thank you for joining us this Saturday morning or Sunday, wherever you are in the world. Make sure you listen back to the episodes you've missed. Catch me again 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern time, weekdays, Monday to Friday. Call and talk to us on State of the Nation. Thank you for joining the John Matlin Show. This is TNT Radio.live.